Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Fucking fucking fuck. Fuck.
You weren't recording,
fuck,
were you?
No, I fucking wasn't.
That was gold.
Damn it.
We lost gold.
Anyway, what I was saying is that my D&D character that I rolled up for the first time in 15 years, good brief recap there. He's a folk hero, so I had to come up with a fancy name for him. Dalinois is DMing us. So he's like, well, what do they call you? And I'm like, I don't know, something fun, like, I don't know, chartreuse mousse. And then I was like, it won't be that. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, it will be that.
This is why I don't run games anymore.
Yeah. And Lyson pretty much butted everyone out. It was like, I'm playing a rogue halfling. And everyone else was like, I want to play a halfling. And they're like, no. Lyson's like, I sculpted my own mini. I'm like, God damn it, Lyson. Dude, you should just be like, I don't care if you sculpted your own. I want to be a halfling rogue too. My halfling rogue is going to be better than your halfling rogue, even though your halfling rogue has his own figure. You painted a golden demon standard.
You should just have a small square you've cut of like card and you just wrote halfling rogue on it and just set it down and be like, I made my own miniature as well.
I mean, it's so funny playing with Lyson because if you don't know who Lyson is, go to any of the golden demon boards and type in Tim Lyson. You'll see his extensive list of figures that he's painted and won Slayer swords for. But he's like, I don't know about you guys, but playing Dungeons and Dragons, I feel like we need to use a lot of miniatures with it. I'm just like, of course you do, Tim. That's your thing.
I like...
I prefer the theater of the mind, Steve.
I like the Pathfinder pawns, personally. Like, I've done D&D with minis, and I've done it without, and minis are a pain in the ass for D&D, but having them for key encounters is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's like one of those things where it's like, okay, I don't mind having a mini. Like... So of course, I don't want to go too deep into my D&D campaign that we're doing because we haven't even started it yet, and I always hate hearing other people's D&D campaigns, so who the fuck cares?
Definitely not me.
Yeah, definitely not you. But it's so funny to talk about Tim because Tim is fucking insane when it comes to painting minis and building terrain. Now, if you've been to Chicagoland Battle
Bunker,
like
six dungeons.
Yeah, well, that's like it. Like you go to the Chicagoland Battle Bunker, or you see these tables on
what Battle Bunker?
Yeah,
it's gone.
I know. It's like you go over there and it's just like a big open space with like wind blowing.
there's just one news reporter cap with a feather in it, and you're like, what the fuck is his hat?
That is
a super reference.
Yeah. I was going to say it's actually a broken towel with a broom handle next to it. I don't know if you remember that one. Or no, Necron. There was a Necron with a broom handle.
Yes.
Necron!
The Necron felt the sting of the immaculate katana blade.
But playing with Tim, it's like, I went over to his house to, we were just playing some games and we're going to roll up our character for D&D. And he's like, oh, yeah, I made this great board for if we get into, like, a mountainous terrain. And I look at this board. It's 10 by 4, mind you. 10 by 4 of just the most gorgeous mountain terrain ever. It literally looks like something straight out of, like, a
movie set?
Yeah, like a movie set. Like a matte painting, you know? Yeah. Like what George Lucas would do before he sold out.
George Lucas sold out immediately.
Yes. But it's just, like, I was like, I would have killed for this as an 8-year-old, like with my little Ewoks and shit. I would have been like, this is awesome. And I was like, at the same time, I'm like, now that I'm a jaded 33-year-old, I'm like, this is just going to make this game infinitely complicated. But aside from that,
yeah. Minis don't make the game harder.
No, I'm not DMing. That's one thing. Like we all kind of got together and like, who's DMing? And I'm like, not me. I'm terrible at it. It's not that I'm terrible at it. I just don't have the patience for it. I don't have, like, if someone does something that I don't want them to do, I'm going to be like, fuck this shit! God damn it! Motherfucker! Ah, turn into Joe Pesci.
Suddenly you're stabbing your players in the neck with a pen.
God, son of a fucking bitch! What'd you fucking call me? What'd you fucking call
Dungeon
me?
Dungeon asshole!
God damn it!
But anyway. As you approach the decrepit door, the smell of moldering wood fills your nostrils. What do you do?
I say hi to the red shirt running the store and buy my minis and go. It's a game store reference.
But. Your character has been slain by something really shitty. Maybe a flumpf. Yes, a flumpf has killed your character.
Your character is killed by falling rocks.
No, a flumpf. That's far more embarrassing.
What's a flumpf? Is it something you made up or is it a real thing?
No, it's a real thing.
Oh, okay.
It's basically...
Is it like a grumpkin or a snark?
It's a yellow disc.
Okay.
That has two kind of like crab eyes.
Crab
and then tentacles
people.
Underneath it. It's like a jellyfish with a kind of head.
What sound would it make?
Because it floats using gases.
Oh,
so
okay. So it makes a farting sound.
Yeah.
Does it have an anus?
Well, everything's got an anus, Joe.
Everything's got an anus.
Everybody poops but you.
All right. But because I fucking forgot to start recording, I was talking about how last night I was at the Galloping Ghost with the team from Pat's Retro Video Game Review podcast for their 50th podcast. So I wanted to acknowledge that. I'm on the podcast for all of 30 seconds. So.
I heard a dude at their 50th episode, they're going to have a big name change.
Are they?
Yeah.
What are they going to change to?
Pat's Super Awesome Retro Wicked Reviews Power Glove Podcast.
Ooh, the Power Glove Podcast?
Yeah.
That's what I call condoms.
They're going to call it the Power Glove Podcast for short.
Okay, the Power Glove Podcast?
Yeah. Pat's Power Glove Podcast.
How about the Power Glove Patcast?
Well, that would be if a Power Glove was talking about Pat on a podcast.
I could see it go either way.
Yeah.
I would like to have a whole podcast just dedicated to Pat.
Pat's Power Glove Podcast.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You see the hat Pat was wearing?
You know what? I think Pat really dropped an opportunity by not calling it the Pat's Power Glove Podcast.
I think so, too. I think just calling it Patcast is going to be good.
Yeah, that would be good, too.
Because we could talk about, like, you see Pat's what ball cap Pat's wearing today? It's a Chicago White Sox ball cap.
Isn't it always a Sox ball cap?
Sometimes it's a New York Yankees ball cap. He likes the baseball caps. He said he's going to shave his beard.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
I know.
You can't do that, Pat. You fucking stop. you stop.
It's funny because normally with most gamers that you meet, you're like, shave that fucking awful facial hair you have.
Pat's facial hair is fantastic.
But Pat's not a gamer though. I mean, not a tabletop gamer. He plays the video games.
It's kind of a mush together at this point, man.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. I got about 20 minutes into Dragon Slayer this time, so.
Dragon's Lair?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Dragon Slayer.
That's probably another thing.
I'm fucking with you. Yes, Dragon's Lair.
Okay, cuz there's highly likely to be a game called Dragon Slayer as well, yeah. So.
Which is cuz I can't play like side scrollers for that long cuz I get too fucking bored. Like the Dungeons and Dragons one, like the Tower of
the Tower of Mystaria,
yeah,
and the Shadow over Mystaria, no,
yeah.
The Shadow over Mystaria, and the Tower of something else,
the Tower of my penis.
Man, that's a really small tower.
Yeah,
it's a tower for gnomes.
What is this? A tower for gnomes? It's a regular house. I can't. So I was doing that, and I was just like. My eyes started to bleed after like a certain part.
Dude, I've played through both parts of that game. That game's fucking awesome.
It's a great game, but I'm just like, why would anybody put themselves through this?
Because it's fun and awesome?
No, not like it's fun there because it's free, but otherwise.
Sticks to snakes. Did you play as the cleric? Did you use sticks to snakes?
No.
Oh, then you're really missing out.
No, I'm talking Dragon's Lair.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I said I can't play that too long, like side scores like game too long. I can play like for like 10, 15 minutes and then I'm like, I'm bored, I'm done.
Dragons are also kicks ass.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's the game that caused my eyes to bleed after playing it for like 20 minutes.
It's a cartoon.
I know, but I'm staring at it, trying to make sure that I'm doing all the actions correctly. I'm like, I'm not blinking. I feel like fucking Malcolm McDowell in Clockwork Orange. Like they're ruining Beethoven's Fifth.
I don't like that movie.
It's not really that good.
I actually think Kubrick is possibly the most overrated of all the directors.
I don't know.
I find most of his stuff bad. Like, I don't like The Shining. I thought 2001 A Space Odyssey was overall bad, except for the HAL sequence, which was very good.
He's a product of his time. It's really hard to, like, really comment on a lot of his movies for me, because I'm kind of like you, where it's not this. I understand his genius and what he did, and I appreciate what he did, but it's just like... aside from a, like Dr. Strangelove and a couple other ones, I'm not like a huge fan of Kubrick.
I don't like Dr. Strangelove.
Well, that you're wrong. Oh shit, we gotta look up who our winner is for the contest.
Did you even decide?
Oh yeah, I did. I just gotta look it up because I gotta find it because I'm lazy. But yeah, so let's go into some actual gaming stuff news. Got a couple things.
Kubrick makes me nap.
I guess the big fanboy butthurt of the 2 weeks of the bye week is they're changing the Magic format.
That's not butthurt.
No, I think some people are really upset about that.
Whatever. They're small and stupid.
Are they insignificant?
Their numbers are
insignificant. Are they peons?
They are peons.
What's going on with that? What are they changing?
All right, so
Magic. While you're doing that, I'm going to look up. I'm going to get the email.
Here's how Magic currently works.
It works by turning cards.
Right now, the way Magic works is sets are released in blocks. A block is comprised of three sets.
It complies.
Complies. It's comprised of three sets.
Mamma mia!
Two, three. Wait. So you have three sets, and then they release what's called a core set. The core set's supposed to be like a introduction to Magic, I guess, because it's a game that needs an introduction at this point. Then they'll release three more sets in the next block. So right now the blocks are Return to Ravnica, which is Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, Dragon's Maze, and then it's M14
means Magic 2014.
14, yes. Then you have Theros, Born of the Gods, Journey into Nyx, and M15.
Journey into Nyx was an awesome album by Styx, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Journey into Nyx was probably something done by, shit, damn it, what's the band with Stevie Nicks in it?
Fuck, now you got me.
Yes.
Fleetwood Mac.
See, I was gonna make a joke about Fleetwood Mac and having sex with Stevie Nicks.
Mick Fleetwood.
Really fucked it up.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, I really fucked it up. Anyway, so right now Magic current standard is comprised of these eight sets. When the next set comes out, Khans of Tarkir, as soon as that set drops, that starts a new block. That pushes the oldest cards out. So Return to Ravnica, Gatecrash, Dragon's Maze, and M14, kaput. They're gone. They get pushed out of standard. Then it'll be four sets again. So basically, the things that suck about this are core sets are ass. Like, nobody gives a shit because they're usually really bad. Mostly. The rotation's super slow, so formats get solved really quickly, so it's boring. Like, the best deck is discovered very quickly. Straight up. Draft gets shallow because the format take, you know, again, it's stuff sticks around for so long. Also, traditionally, the third set of a Magic block sells like shit. I mean, we'll be relative about this because a Magic set selling like shit still sells way more than whatever your favorite game is.
My favorite game is Infinity. I like the MDF terrain.
Yeah, exactly. That game is garbage in terms of sales. Actually, it's probably less than garbage. It's like not even a blip on the radar when it comes to the amount of money that Magic sells. Like a bad Magic set makes.
So
what they're doing is they're eliminating core sets. Good, done. They're eliminating the third set in a block. Done. So blocks will now comprise of two sets. And standard, which is the most popular and most played Magic format, will be a constantly rotating group of six total sets. So you'll have your first block, two, your second block, two, your third block, two, and then when the first set of the fourth block comes out, it pushes those first two out, and then it'll be four and five. So you're basically your standard format, it's always going to be five or six sets.
Okay.
And it's just going to roll. It's going to roll the two sets out.
And that's a good thing?
Yes, it's a good thing. It's because Modern is actually a very highly played format. That's the Modern is basically everything printed in 2000. I know it's earlier. I don't remember. There's a set called Mirrodin, and Mirrodin's old. It's like 2001, early 2000s. That set was has the new Magic card design, the new Magic card face, because the old one they stopped doing it.
We had to get a younger model.
The old we had to make it fresher.
We had to make it fresh. We had to make it extreme.
They had to make it fresh and exciting.
We had to change the paradigm.
They called that the modern face, the modern design of the card. So yeah. The way the modern format works is basically everything printed from Mirrodin forward is allowed. Everything before is not. So like most of the super degenerate stuff and insanely expensive cards are not allowed.
Okay, so why? Let me ask you a question. Why are people, at least this small minority that you say is bullshit, upset about this?
Because they're dumb.
That's the only reason.
I don't know, they're not dumb. They just like it's a slightly faster rotation for some of the cards.
Okay.
Because it's 18 months instead of 24.
Okay.
But it's rotating less cards. So like the 24 month rotation takes 4 sets out of the game.
Yeah.
The 18 month rotation takes 2 sets out of the game.
So people are just being upset for no real reason whatsoever.
I don't think they actually like
they understand why they're upset.
Yeah, and also it's
I don't know why I'm angry.
I'll give you an example how Magic works. How Magic players are for the most part.
Okay. They're like every other gamer.
Combat damage in Magic for a long time worked a certain way, and then they changed it to this. The combat damage used the stack in Magic.
Yeah.
So if you block my 3/3 with your 2/4, the damage goes on the stack. So I say damage goes on the stack, and then I can play cards and respond to that ability. So like if your 2/4 is going to die, but your 2/4 has an ability, or let's say 2 3/3s, we go damage on the stack, and my 3/3 has an ability where I can sacrifice it and draw a card. So I go damage on the stack, so my guy's going to kill your guy's going to kill my guy, I sacrifice it, I draw a card. So I still get all the effects. Your guy dies, my guy dies, but I get to draw a card. So it works out. When they announced that the damage was going to go to the stack, people were like, that's fucking going to kill Magic. Oh, my God. Fuck. And people raged about how damage is going on the stack and how Magic was going to be so fucking broken at this point because everything's busted.
Did they punch their anime pillows with anger?
Yeah. You know, anime pillow thing, that's not really a huge thing with Magic players. There's only if there's
a small thing. I just see sometimes, like most Magic players, I not to say that there's anything wrong with Magic.
Dude, did you not see those two guys posing hard style in front of Garrick?
It's just the... It's like, sometimes it's like one of those...
I love
like,
that he has cards in his hat.
It's like, on one hand, it's like anime people, something I don't get. On the other hand, it's Magic that I don't get. So I just mush them together to make time simpler to make fun of two groups at once.
So that rule change happened.
Okay.
Now, not too long ago, they changed the rules of combat damage, which removed... Damage from the stack. And damage became, if you block my 3/3 here, 3/3, basically I have to decide whether to trade and have both creatures die or draw my card.
Okay.
I only get one. You don't get to pick both. And the reason they did that is because they put damage on the stack for like an ease of gameplay thing.
Damage on the stack sounds like the hook of like a 1980s rap.
Might be. You got damage on the stack.
Damage on the stack.
Yeah,
right. I like it. We got that. That's good. I like it. Yeah.
So what they did is they actually removed a bunch of decision making from the game by putting damage on the stack because the plays became always like you do it this way. You never decide. You know, with the other example, you might actually go like, you know what? I'm going to just block your creature so I don't take damage and I'm going to sacrifice mine to draw the card. I'm going to trade killing your creature to get an extra card in my hand.
Okay.
So it actually has some decision making. Before, you're just like block, damage, stack, draw card. Like always. There was no choice. You just, that's how you play.
And now people were upset about that, I take it.
And people were like, oh my God, fucking Magic's gonna be killed. Basically, Magic's dead every time there's a change.
Yeah. I can see that, yeah.
But I found that the majority of people, or I heard a lot of people really excited about these changes in Magic.
Yeah.
So... it's a thing.
I just want to point out too that
although I've seen a lot, honestly, the people I've seen complain about it the most don't play Magic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't care either way. I'm definitely not a Magic player. No, I just wanted to say though that your explanations of Magic are informative and entertaining. However, I still every time you're talking to me, it's like phantom time. It's just like I wake up like 5 minutes later, going like, "What? What happened? Who? What?" Ravnica? What? I don't get it.
Yes, magic is important. That's
I understand. That's why I want to talk about it. I was like, I could be like one of those things. Like, I don't fucking care. It's like fucking Malfoy. Yes, people play Malfoy, but I just it's so in that I don't give a shit category that it's not even worth talking about.
Magic takes up so much of the gaming pie. Like, it's so important. It's far. It like no matter what game you're thinking of,
the gaming pie is delicious.
Yeah, well, it's mostly magic. So I hope you like the taste of cardboard.
Taste of body
odor. Yum, 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 Black Lotus.
Alright, so other thing. You know what I found out? So, the Skullgash, the Everskulling, is, you know, we talked about
$130?
It. $130. $130. No, he's only like $60, but you have to buy the special book to use him.
Well, that makes him he's $130 on the website.
Is he really?
He's $130 on the website. There's a $200 special edition version.
No,
a $131.
That's the book, Nagash.
No. The $200 one comes with him.
Yeah, oh, okay.
It's a box set. It comes with, like, you get like art prints. But the one that's $130
figure. Stop. Art prints, you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
You mean something that I could maybe tack onto my wall with some blue tack?
Oh yeah.
Maybe some double sided tape.
Yeah.
Put it up there so I can look upon it while I put together and paint my Skullgash.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to get these skull prints.
I hate that model.
You know who likes that model? Dan Delanois.
Of course Dan Delanois does. Dan Delanois likes Tau.
The Tau?
Actually, I like Tau too, so. Shit.
Well, it's very anime for you.
Delanois probably likes other shitty things. Actually, Tau is not very anime. Like, it's poorly. It would be a very no one would watch that anime. People are like, how come the fucking crisis suits are boxes? This is stupid. This looks like it was designed by a drunk British guy, and then be like, oh, it was.
Oh, okay, there we go. Speaking of, we got to talk about Gav Thorpe in a minute.
Gav Thorpe, my butt is trembling. There must be some dwarves nearby.
But yeah, so they're doing this. Apparently, they're doing 4 books for fantasy. They're doing Nagash, a Skaven, a Chaos, and some other book, and they're calling it the End Times. I guess the four codexes of the apocalypse. I guess I don't know, but I guess they're gonna do that, and they're gonna nuke 8th edition for 9th. Then 9th edition will come out. I think there's 2 great ironies about this. One, your last 4 releases for fantasy are gonna be like special $100 books that no one is gonna buy, because why would you buy these books when your edition is ending and there'll be a brand new edition coming afterwards? So that's literally $400 worth of product no one will buy, period. I mean, some people will buy, they're completionists, but I mean, the general gaming public, A, doesn't play Warhammer Fantasy anymore, and B, is not going to pay the money to get those books. Am I not correct in that?
That is 100% accurate.
Okay. And I think it's also a little bit funny that
it's a little bit funny. This feeling inside. I stuck this Nagash in a place that I shouldn't use to hide.
I got nothing to follow that with. I think it's funny that all the books are released for fantasy except Bretonians.
My butthole is bleeding as fast as it can.
I prefer Candle to Wind. I'm just saying that. Eh. Or a Crocodile Rock.
Benny and the Jets.
Oh, Elton John.
I think Nagash makes me think of Elton John. I would give him the glasses.
A big pink dress.
Yeah, I would just paint him. Like, all he needs is the glasses. You just paint him in Elton John colors and throw the glasses on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when Rock was young.
I guess you could maybe make him a floating piano.
Have the
ghosts holding up
the piano. Well, if he had a floating piano, he'd look like Big Mac from the old McDonald's commercials.
No, he'd need more of the curve.
Like the old Chaos Sorcerer with the moon head.
That guy.
Actually, they just re-released that head for the that crazy Zinchi Chariot. One of the sorcerer that comes on there, you can put it comes with a plastic moon head.
Nice.
Yeah. That's one of the better things that they've released in the last 5 years for that. It's the moon head! But yeah, as I said, I think it's funny that they're releasing all of these books. All these beautiful hardcover books, as expensive and as bullshit as they are, they're really nice. But The only one that they don't have right now for 8th edition, they're probably not going to do, is Bretonians, which is so fucking sad. I just think, it's like, as a completionist like myself, like, I have all my 6th ed books. I kept them all. None of the 7th ed, but I kept all the 6th ed, and because it has every army. Now, here comes 8th edition, no Bretonians. Everything else, no fucking Bretonians. I just find that so, like, just so sad.
Whatever, man. I mean,
I know you don't care.
Everyone should have known what they're in for once they got, like, the Storm of Chaos books torn out from under them. Nah. Like, the Storm of Chaos lists torn out from under them. Like, if that didn't leave you salty enough for the workshop to stop playing, I got nothing.
I don't know. The Storm of Chaos was just a temporary thing. I don't think those lists were going to be permanent.
There is nothing anywhere that said that those lists weren't permanent. But what they did is they made those lists illegal for tournaments.
Yeah, well, they were kind of broken.
Who gives a shit? That's why you FAQ an errata. You don't ban an army that someone probably spent a ton of money on.
When has GW ever errated? Right. Ever?
Oh no, they do shitty jobs of it.
They do the worst jobs of errata of all
but
time.
But I would rather have a shitty errata FAQ than
an army ban. Dog,
an army
right?
ban because the armies that were in Storm of Chaos were ludicrously expensive. Like my friend who quit fantasy in a rage after they did it. He had dwarf slayers.
Yeah, well, that's
his entire army was metal, expensive as fuck. But he's like, you know what? I'm gonna do this army. It's really cool because he'd already been like, that was the first thing he bought for fantasy was a box of slayers, and he's like, these guys are the fucking sweetest thing ever. And I'm like, oh well, there's a whole army coming, and he's like, oh cool. And then that he rolled that into doing the Storm of Chaos like dwarf army. And he's like, now I've got like $1,200 worth of models that I can't fucking do anything with. So he sold them on eBay, and he's like, fuck Games Workshop. He was the first one to just run to War Machine.
Yeah. Oh. I shall play this War Machine. They won't go the GW route. Let's see other gaming news. Am I missing anything? I have Kickstarter stuff, but I mean, any big news that's come out?
Well, you got Alien Legendary. That's a thing.
Yeah? What the hell is that?
So it's a deck building game. There was a Marvel Legendary deck building game. I don't know if you know that.
Okay.
They released it. It's called Legendary Encounters.
Yeah.
It's Alien.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Is it Alien from like the Aliens movie?
It's all four.
Oh really?
Yeah. You play through.
So I could play Call.
Yes.
The android from Aliens 4.
You actually could.
Can I play
Johnner? Ron Perlman from Aliens
4? Yeah, I was just about to say Ron Perlman.
You sure can.
Yeah, nice. All right, I'm there.
Yeah, they have four characters from each movie.
Can I play Rock? A.K.A. Charles S. Dutton from Alien 3, is directed by David Fincher.
I don't remember who Rock is.
He's the black guy. He's the prisoner. He's kind of like the lead. Yeah.
Yes.
He's in there?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know what his name is in the movie. I don't know who anyone's name is in the movie. I always call like where's Bill Paxton?
That's Hudson.
Yeah, but I always get Hudson confused with the other guy from Alien. Hicks and Hudson. It's like, when you're writing that fucking movie, why'd you give both of your characters
Dude, it's
names?
Easy. Hudson has a gap in his tooth, and he's Bill Paxton. Hicks is not Bill Paxton. That's all you need to remember. Like, geez, is that Bill Paxton? That must be Hicks.
Well, I just...
What about a Pone?
Well, I just don't understand.
Stogie.
Make it two different, you know, names instead of both having them start with H. That's why I get confused. I'm a simple man, Steve. I have simple things that confuse me.
So anyway, there's four characters represented from each film.
Yeah.
And then there are three objectives for each film, which follows the movies. The first one you play, you get the crew of the Nostromo, and you play through Alien. What is that?
It's the when they go... Maybe I'm getting confused with Klondathu Drop, but they both sound very similar.
That definitely sounded like Starship Troopers. Yeah.
But the beginning.
Bum, 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 bum. It's definitely Starship Troopers.
Okay, so what's the aliens where they come in?
The aliens that doesn't have a, like a big.
Bum, 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 bum,
it doesn't.
Bum, bum,
that's
bum,
RoboCop.
Bum. Damn it!
the aliens. The one aliens thing where the music really picks up is when Ripley's driving the Stinger through the hive.
Yeah.
That goes. That song's like dun 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 dun. That's like the only time there's like super dramatic music. Otherwise, Alien is mostly full of like violin, like. Like stings and shit.
Well, Alien, but not Aliens.
Aliens is mostly silent, actually.
Is it really?
It is.
I have to go
there's
back.
There's a few.
I haven't seen, like, I like the Aliens movies, but they're not, like, my favorite thing, so I don't watch them quite that often.
They're probably my favorite sci-fi movies.
I like Alien a lot. Aliens is fun, but
I like all four of them.
Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection Aliens, do nothing for me.
Alien 3's biggest crime, it came out after Aliens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things, like, I really like when movie series have a different director for each movie, because I love, like, seeing very something. I never like seeing the same thing over and over and over again. So, like, when Harry Potter was doing that, like, they had, so Columbus directed the first two, and then they got Cuarón to do the third one.
Well, isn't that because the first guy had a nervous breakdown?
Well, whatever, but I mean,
he was supposed to direct all of them.
Well, then, yeah, they had the first two, and then Cuarón did the third, and then another guy did the fourth. And I was like, oh, cool, they're doing similar to, like, Alien in a lot of ways, where each one's going to have a different feel and maybe a little bit of a different art direction. And then the last, like, three were all done, or four were all done by the same guy, and I was kind of like, fuck this. But that's what I really liked about
Expelliarmus.
It's Wingardium Leviosa.
Mr. Weasley.
It's Leviosa.
The size of a tangerine. But yeah, the Alien movies, that's the one thing I really like about it is like, oh, okay, it's a different person each time. It's like, okay, Ridley Scott. And then it's, you know, who did the second one? It was Cameron. And then, you know, going on and on.
That
like,
James Cameron fellow.
Yeah, he's James Cameron. Film. Yeah. He's done some films, some cinema. And the third one was Fincher. And the fourth one was the weird guy who did Amelie.
Yeah. Which is why Ron Perlman and the other dude was in it.
Yeah.
I cannot remember his name, but he's like the French guy with the scrunched face.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's super good. Mick Max and all sorts of other good movies. Delicatessen.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
But that's why I liked about the Alien movies. But as I say, I really like Alien. It's just like a good horror sci-fi movie. Yeah.
So this game pretty accurately gives you the feel of each scenario. So like the first thing you do in Alien is there's the first objective is the SOS. So you have to find the two halves of the SOS in the encounter deck.
Oh, okay.
So the way this game works is you've played the DC deck building. So your deck that you buy cards from is the four characters you're playing as.
Is this a solo game?
You can play it solo.
Okay.
Does
it work better as a two-player, three-player, four-player?
Thus far, it gets more difficult the more players you add.
Okay.
You have to work together better the more players you add, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, you don't like playing co-op with most people because you're like, you're doing it wrong!
Well, interesting thing about this game is if you die via chest burster, you rejoin the game as an alien.
Oh, okay.
You die in this one. Like, if you get a facehugger attached to you. So, the SOS, there's two halves of it in the encounter deck.
Okay.
So, there's a deck that it's the enemies, and then there's a deck that's the stuff that you buy.
Yeah.
So, you flip up five cards, you can buy those. As soon as you buy a card, you replace it. The enemies, instead, they come one at a time off the enemy deck face down. And as they move closer to the combat area, you can scan them. And then when you scan them, you flip the card face up, see what it is. You can then defeat it, or it could be something else that does something. And then once they get to the combat area, they start making you draw strikes, which kill you.
Okay.
So like you start taking damage if they're in the combat
area. Damage.
So you have to try and kill them before they get there. So the first one is aliens, the SOS. Almost all the enemies in the deck for Alien are eggs.
Ooh.
So they're just like egg. And if you flip up there's another card in the enemy stack called an encounter. If you flip the encounter up, all of the eggs hatch and facehuggers fly out at you. If you get facehugged, you have one turn. If you get a facehugger attached to you,
I'm being attacked by symbolism of vaginas.
You have, I think it's a dick actually.
No, those are vaginas, dude. Those things that come at you.
They're kind of like vagina dicks.
Well, the vagina dicks. Okay.
Vagicks.
Vagina dicks.
There you go. So
I'm being killed by symbolism.
If you got facehugged, the very next person at the end of their turn, if they don't kill the facehugger, you get a chestburster. The way the chestburster works, it goes into your deck's discard pile. When you draw it, you suffer extreme pain and die.
Do you feel like Oprah when you're doing it? Are you like, you get a chestburster, and you get a chestburster, and you get a chestburster?
It's pretty rough. And then, as it goes on, then you have to cut off the air vents, and then,
Then you have to cut apart Bilbo Baggins because he's an android.
Then you have to blast,
I'm covered with milky jagoo. This is not gross at all.
Dude, that thing's awesome. It's a goddamn machine. And then you have to blow the alien out of the airlock.
Okay. And then the second one, you have to do the knife thing.
No, that's
Bishop,
in Aliens.
Bishop, do no, the that, knife. That's what I said. In the second one, you have to do the knife thing.
One of the strike cards, the ones that does damage, it's zero. It says you avoid damage, you discard it, and it's fucking Bishop doing the knife thing. And Hudson's like,
That's honestly my favorite part of that fucking movie.
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah,
so I also like Lance Henriksen.
It's
so
super
it's okay.
fun. It's really awesome. And there's a bunch of different modes. There's a straight, like, competitive mode.
It sounds good, but
it's got everything.
It sounds good, and I think I like my friends would mostly get it because like my play group would not my play group, but like my casual friends would like it because we all appreciate the movie Aliens.
Here's the thing about it. It takes forever when you first open the box to like sort it and get it set up.
Yeah,
because there's so many different decks.
Yeah,
but once you've done the sort once, it's very quick.
Oh, okay, that's good.
That's basically, I was like, when I was doing it, I was like, fuck, this is taking a long time because I'm sleeving them all and stuff. Like, this is taking fucking forever. But once it's done, it's kind of like, you're not Sisyphus.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to keep doing it. It's just once.
You know, I think it's honestly kind of funny. Because I was thinking about this with deck building games that are based off, you know, property, IP, like popular, you know, pop culture movies and things like that. We've done a pretty good job. When I say we, I mean the
gaming
industry has done a pretty good job of making these card games that are based off intellectual property as opposed to like board games. Like usually board games based off like, you know, the board game based off the movie Aliens is shit. But the card games are usually really good and they're fun and quick. And I think it's because they're quick as opposed to anything else on top of that.
I mean, it's also that they're you use an engine. Like the Cryptozoic one's a good example. Like the dude designed that engine. They attach a DC to it. Once they saw it worked, they're like, well, we have a game we can use for anything.
Anything, yeah.
So like that makes sense. Legendary is the same exact deal.
Because
they had the Marvel one, and then Marvel's got a bunch of expansions. There's like legendary villains and stuff now. And they're like, well, we can use this for anything. So they have the license for Alien, Firefly, and one other thing.
Anything would be better than that fucking Alien Firefly board game.
Well, if they do a Legendary Encounters Firefly, it'll be good. And you could have the Firefly crew fight the aliens.
Ooh.
let's see how smug and smarmy Mal is when there's a xenomorph in his face. God damn it, Starship Troopers again.
Can I do a Starship Troopers one? Because honestly,
take my love, take my hand.
If I had to say anything, Starship Troopers, I like more than Aliens. Is that make me a terrible person, Steve?
You're already a terrible person.
Yeah.
I guess this makes you a worse person.
I fucking love.
Don't get me
Starship
wrong.
Troopers.
Starship Troopers is great, but better than Aliens?
I don't. For
the
me,
the best sci-fi action movie yet made.
I agree with you in a lot of ways. Yes, but just Starship Troopers is so fucking good for me. It's like I love all of the quotes. I love the bad acting. There's a cutscene in there that I love watching every time I watch the DVD, and it's basically Rico and Denise Richards. I don't remember her name in the movie now. Even though
Denise, my jugs grew 70 sizes in the next film, Richards.
My favorite thing is where she's like, I'm going to be a pilot. But they're like sitting there on the grass talking to each other, and he literally reaches into her shirt and grabs her boob on screen, and they don't even acknowledge it when they're talking to each other. And I'm just like, this is awesome. This is like
mobile infantry does the dying, fleet just does the flying. And then you had Doogie Howser fucking mind dominating his ferret.
Yeah. Remember, what? I don't know. I had a brain crazy collapse right there.
You remember when that thing happened?
Remember when that thing happened? Death to all bugs.
these kids are doing their part. They're fucking stomping on roaches.
Yes. Oh, it's so good. And would you want to know more? Do you want to know more? That's still in pop culture. It's almost as good as I'd buy that for a dollar.
That's another pretty bold statement.
I'd buy that. I watched the RoboCop remake.
Yeah, was it shitty?
It's like, I was just like, the entire time I'm watching it, I'm like, why?
I would have been pretty jazzed to see that actually if it was rated R.
Maybe, but the problem was more, it was like, it had tremendous acting. I mean, the acting in it was really good for like something that was so hammy and stupid.
They had a big cast.
Yeah, they had a big cast in it. But it was just like, I think honestly, you know what was missing from there? Honestly,
was it the guy who said, I'll buy that for a dollar?
No, I mean, the thing, it was missing that gritty,
Dystopian Detroit?
Yeah, I mean, it's more,
because it looked super clean. I was like, that's not fucking Detroit. Detroit's filthy.
Yeah, I mean, like, when Red Foreman, Clarence Boddicker, when he, like, gets pulled up and he spits the blood onto the fucking paper, it's like, that's what it was missing. It was missing, like, that grit, that 70s, 80s grit.
Yeah.
Like, it's missing Peter Weller looking all, like, gross and, like, sweaty in the RoboCop outfit. That's what it's missing.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me. What's your name, son? Murphy.
Murphy.
That movie's fucking awesome. I watched that. I picked up. So I saw the RoboCop trilogy Blu-ray, and I was like, oh shit! Oh wait, it's only like $8. So I spent $8 to get RoboCop 1 on Blu-ray, and I'm never watching the other ones.
Yeah, they're terrible. Yeah, RoboCop 1 is an amazing movie. It's just like, because you're like, there is no way in hell that movie would get made nowadays. No way in hell.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
I think having a if they had a strong R rating on the remake, it'd probably have been better.
It would have been better, but
it's like The Expendables 3. PG?
Yeah.
Jerky motion.
Jerky motion. Bitches leave.
Bitches leave.
You're fired.
Thank you.
You have 10 seconds to comply.
It's so good.
Yes. There you go. I'll do that for the D&D campaign. Be like, all right, the party enters the dungeon. You see a gigantic metallic beast.
No.
It turns towards you.
You have 10 seconds to comply.
No. You can't say a gigantic. You have to like literally call it like, you round the corner and there's ED-209.
Oh, just be like, you're around the corner and it's ED-209. He turns to you, arms his cannons and says,
you have 10 seconds to comply.
Oh, shit. Run.
Take your saving throws. ED-209 guns down the party. I've won again.
it's like quick, find some stairs.
It falls down, makes the fucking dog noises. Oh man, RoboCop's so good. Fucking love RoboCop.
I do too. It's one of my it's like, but that's what I'm saying, is like a movie like that, when like
your original movie's very similar to RoboCop, actually. Starship Troopers.
Yeah, well, I mean it's the same director.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But I mean, it's the same thing with Total Recall. Like, all of those movies.
Total Recall's really good, too. Peter Van Hoven, isn't it?
No, it's. Now you got me confused because I'm thinking Peter Van Hoven, but it's not. Paul.
Paul?
I think it's.
Paul Van Hoven?
God damn it.
Paul Reiser?
Paul Reiser. Fuck down with Paul Reiser.
It's Paul Reiser. Paul Reiser's totally in the game. He's got an enemy card. Like, fucking Paul Reiser!
Who's the worst villain of the 1980s, Paul Reiser or Ellis from Die Hard?
Probably Paul Reiser. Ellis is just dumb and gets himself shot.
Hold on there, Bubby.
Hans? Bubby? I'm your white knight.
Paul Verhoeven. Okay, so yeah, I was right. It was Paul Verhoeven. Okay. So,
wait, isn't that what I said?
Yeah, but no, you said Peter Verhoeven originally, okay. And then I said Paul Verhoeven, and you got me all confused.
I knew it was Verhoeven, because you don't forget Verhoeven.
I know you've probably seen this 1,000 times, but Arnold Schwarzenegger's commentary for Total Recall is one of the greatest things of all time. It's like, this is the part where I see that he's sweating, so I know that he's lying. He's just there. He's just telling you exactly what's going on the screen. Here's the part where I get really angry with the taxi driver.
Damn it, Benny.
Damn it, Benny. With what is it? The Johnny Cab. This is the part I get upset with the Johnny Cab.
The Johnny Cab. Fucking Arnold.
This is the part where I'm going, ah. Oh, but man. I would look it up if I were you. It's an actual, it's the real commentary for Total Recall.
I've never seen that.
It's on the tubes, on the YouTubes.
Is it on the DVD for Total Recall?
Yeah, but I don't know which DVD, so I didn't want to say.
All right.
I
had to rebuild my Schwarzenegger collection on Blu-ray.
Yeah. I just, you know what I picked up on DVD? I was at Half Price Books.
On DVD?
On the Half Price Books, I went, because they have a 20% off sale this weekend. I went, and I never looked at their DVDs, because I don't buy DVDs anymore. My collection is done with DVDs. However, I saw the sci-fi miniseries Dune. You remember that? Ooh. I saw it for $2.
All right.
And I was like, I am buying this because I love this miniseries. I love Dune. It's so good.
Doesn't have Sting in the panties, though.
It does not. It does not. But it is John Hurt. Not John Hurt. Damn it. Fuck my head. But anyway.
Are you thinking more alien actors?
Yeah.
John Hurt. Test explodes.
Yeah.
Bilbo's an android.
Bilbo's an android. Sigourney Weaver's in her underwear. Mass hysteria. No, it's William Hurt. William Hurt is in it. It's good. I like it. It's more true to the books, so. You never read Dune, did you?
I read the first Dune.
The first one?
It was okay.
Yeah. I love that book. I think it's one of my favorite.
It's been a long time.
One of my favorite. The problem is that the first 30 pages are the most difficult reading to get through of all time.
There's also infinite books afterwards.
Yeah, well, they don't count. maybe up to God Emperor of Dune. But after that, anything that his son wrote, fuck that shit.
It's garbage. It's a bunch of cabbage.
It's also co-written by the guy who wrote the X-Wing series for Star Wars.
Well, he's the one who made Wedge Antilles out to be the hero he's really supposed to be.
He's Wedge Antilles, the hero we deserve.
Wedge Antilles is the hero we do not get. Wedge Antilles is the guy who goes like, oh, hey, Luke, how's it going? He's like, oh, hey, Wedge Antilles, you're way better than me, but we're not going to talk about you for this film. I'm going to go to Tosche Station and pick up some power converters.
Wedge Antilles.
You know, the biggest question I have with Star Wars is that Luke never got those power converters. What the fuck were they for?
You know, I don't know what power converters actually are for. I'm assuming that it's for a game of power converters. Kind of like, I'm going to the game store to buy some Magic the Gathering cards. I think that's the equivalent.
I think it was something really important. Perhaps he needed the power converters to keep the power of his aunt and Uncle Beru's, like, house stable.
From going on fire.
But it burst into flames because he didn't get the power converters. So Luke actually killed Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Uncle Owen's sitting there going, like, what's that smell? Beru, I mean, you smell that? It smells like fire. And she's like, oh my God, the power converters!
And then they just burn.
And he's like, Luke!
Why, Luke?
Why did I keep him from going to the Tosche station?
They're
to pick
both
up the power
on fire. They walk out, they fall down where their skeletons are.
Why did I stop him from going? Actually, it's Uncle Owen's fault at that point, though, because he stopped Luke from going to the Tosche station.
He did. He did stop him to get
because he
the
said
power
you could waste time with your friends later.
Yeah.
Because he went to go hang out with Cammy and.
He wanted to hang out with that little blue guy who was going to go, that's Wizard Annie.
That's Wizard Annie. Fuck that. I think that was a green guy. Wasn't it? Was it a little Greedo?
No, he's blue. He's not a little Greedo.
No, not a little Greedo.
No, everyone saw it and they were like, oh my God, it's Greedo. And it's like, that's not Greedo. That's just a Rodian.
A Rodian. But the, I wouldn't even be able to correct you if you were wrong because I haven't seen episode one in that long. But the, yeah, the Biggs dark lighter. Everyone makes him out to be this great pilot, and he gets shot down with Porkins. You're in the same category as Porkins, motherfucker.
I have a little trouble here. I spilled some of my gravy on the controls.
I love as much as the Family Guy Star Wars parodies went downhill. Like it was a steep decline up to the third one. Mm-hmm. The second one, where he's like, I feel like I could take on the whole empire. Ready, Darth Vader? Ready to suck on some dak? Get ready to suck some dick. That made me laugh. Okay, so going on. Oh, Half Price Books reminded me. Also got some fun D&D stuff.
Some old D&D crap.
Some old D&D crap.
The Monstrous Compendium, nice.
Annual.
Oh man, some Spelljammer.
Flying through space with the. I love Spelljammer. If there's nothing that's more 80s anime than flying through Spelljammer. I don't know what is.
Spelljammer's pretty awesome.
Spelljammer!
Man, look at all these enemies.
Flying through
wild
space. Spelljammer.
Check out that donut.
Look at this alien race.
You got a sweet donut.
It's Spelljammer. That looks like a bagel sandwich.
This book is defaced by one Mark Topic.
Mark
Topic. If somehow by the stars are aligned, we have your Dungeons & Dragons... Advanced, second edition, Monsters Compendium Annual, Volume 1.
And your handwriting looks like a 3-year-old wrote it. It
definitely looks old.
It looks like
a youngling.
He looks like he scribbled that with pencil.
So listen here, Mark Topic.
Oh,
there better not be any pictures or protein stains on the pages with boobies.
You know, but what's in this book when I bought it?
It was a character sheet? Babylon 5 trading cards! Yes! There was a bookmark... There's Babylon 5 trading cards being used as bookmarks for season 5 set.
I think that's
hilarious.
Babylon 5.
Well, what were they marking? Did you see what enemies they were marking?
One was scum, or this the giant cobra snake.
That's funny.
Or snake, comma giant cobra.
Yes.
Oh God, it's a giant cobra.
That's hilarious.
I thought you'd appreciate that.
Babylon 5! Babylon 5!
All right, so we got a little bit of time left before I go into the contest. Not that you're all listening for the contest, but we did get a lot of responses. Kickstarter. I want to talk about Gav Thorpe's new Kickstarter.
Gav Thorpe's buttocks?
The only reason I'm mentioning this is because it's kind of something I've always wanted, but they're doing it wrong. They're doing a game that's a computer-based tabletop war game. So it's actually you build your blocks of troops, and then you play RTS against another big army box of troops. However, they're making it collectible, so you have to buy certain units. Like, they're not free.
That sounds fucking terrible.
Exactly.
That sounds unbelievably bad.
Like, that's the old, that's the thing I've always wanted with Warhammer to do. Like, Warhammer Fantasy, if they put out a video game that acted just like the tabletop, and I just, you know, it came with all the troops and I could build whatever I want and play, that would be fan-fucking-tastic. You know how much more GW would sell of their figures for Fantasy if that was out there? So you could play test
they
your
were,
figures?
They were close with Mark of Chaos.
They were so close, but Mark of Chaos
ended up being poopy, especially because it was real-time.
Yeah.
That was the biggest problem with Mark of Chaos. I don't know what anyone else said, but, like, the fact that that was not turn-based,
I'm
huge
sorry.
Issue.
This is turn-based. It's not real-time.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good, but the game's collectible, so...
Yeah, it's like you have to buy certain units.
That's
like
the stupidest. Why?
That sounds like unbelievable. That sounds like the worst of freemium right there. But it's a Kickstarter, so fucking Gav Thor.
But the dwarves are gonna be the best army in the game.
I have troubles trusting men with ponytails. I just do.
He doesn't have a ponytail anymore.
Well, he did at one point. Though did most people in the 2000s.
He has nice throbbing buttocks. You can see in almost all of the pictures taken from him from behind in any Games Workshop fine publication.
And also, new Kickstarter coming out. Stonehaven's doing another Kickstarter. Because Stonehaven, they do like...
It's not more gnomes, is it?
No, half-orcs.
Ooh, all right. Cool.
I thought, you know, ooh.
Yeah, Stonehaven just makes a bunch of sweet PC models.
They did dwarves, they did gnomes, they did elves, and now they're doing half-orcs.
Gnomes.
Can't wait for them to do tieflings and the dragon kind.
I believe you mean tufflings.
Tufflings?
Yeah, tufflings, because they're so rough and tumble.
What about the dragonkin?
Dragonborn?
Dragonkin. They walk around going, fuck you, I'm dragon.
Not really.
That's what I would play. I am a dragon!
They're not dragons.
What am I doing in this human world? Why am I allowed to exist?
You know why? Because the most fucking common thing that players wanted to do in 3 and 3.5 was play a half-dragon. And it was broken and fucking stupid. So they were just like, here's a race that's balanced and it looks like a dragon, so you can just shut up about it now.
I still stand by my statement on the web page where I just said, the dragonkin and the tieflings are the fucking expansion teams of Dungeons & Dragons, to give it a sports reference.
I don't even know what that means.
Expansion, like you have the original teams, like, you know, the original 8 hockey teams in the NHL.
Okay.
They're like the big ones, you know, Chicago Blackhawks, New York Rangers, all that. I'm giving some sports stuff here. And then you have expansion teams, which some of them are good, but most are bullshit. It's like, why does Phoenix need a hockey team? No one fucking knows. No one fucking goes to those games because it's in fucking Phoenix and you don't want to see ice hockey in Phoenix. No one wants to see tieflings. No one actively goes, I want to play a tiefling, unless they're a bullshit asshole.
Well, you like gnomes, right?
Yeah, but gnomes are part of that original thing.
Mm-mm.
Well, they're part of that first wave expansion, expansion.
That's not an okay expansion.
That's an okay expansion.
Because it brought fucking gnomes.
Yeah, I mean...
Next thing you're going to be like, you're going to want to play, what the fuck are they?
I mean, it's like the Pittsburgh Penguins. Wow, not everybody likes them, but they're very popular.
One of those things from Dragonlance. Can't fucking remember.
Margaret Weiss?
No, there's a... there's a type... They're like
I'm
a gnome.
Playing Margaret Weiss.
They're like a gnome thing from fucking Dragonlance. I used to... Bosmer. I
don't know Dragonlance too much.
No, it's not Bosmer. Yeah. Fuck, they're awful.
But yeah,
they're the worst.
This half-orc Kickstarter is a little more expensive than the last ones.
I think they're bigger.
Well, yeah, they're bigger, and I guess that might be the reason. But I mean, it is a little more expensive. It's like $130 for everything.
Because they're metal. And like all the previous ones were small. They were dwarves and gnomes.
Yeah.
The best that could be said about the gnomes is that fucking gnomes.
I know you hate gnomes. I love gnomes. What is your hatred? Did a gnome touch you? Show me on.
Show me where the tiefling touched you.
Show me on the bloodthirster where the gnome touched you.
Show me where the tiefling touched you, Joe.
Is that their pointy hats get into your anus and gradually increase its diameter as they went deeper down?
Did they make you hold on to their horns when they were giving it to you good? Grab my horns, Joe. Grab them. And then suddenly there was a tail inside of your body.
Yeah.
In an unfamiliar place. Yeah. I mean, as far as D&D goes, I'm a big fan of dwarf, elf, halfling, man. Big fan of doing that.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more probably next Sunday after the Sunday after this. We'll release our review of the player's handbook.
Ooh.
And so everyone will get to hear our opinions on the player.
Player's dong book.
Give you a preview. I really like it.
I'll give you another preview. I haven't opened it yet.
Well, fun. Okay, so let's talk about our god damn it.
Hmm?
The email that I had opened up about who won the contest. this one has made me laugh really hard. This is not the winner, but I think it was as close to it being the winner as possible. The biggest thing I believe Steve was wrong about on the podcast is when he said MASH was in the Vietnam War. What the fuck? That was Brett from Perth, Western Australia.
Totally thought that was a thing. I mean, I never watched MASH.
He says, when I first listened to Game Class, I thought Steve's word was gold, but because he ragged on GW so much. But since hearing that, I have lost all faith in Steve's word and possibly humanity, too.
Oh, the Vietnam thing?
Yes.
Yes.
You had a true believer, Steve, and you lost it.
That's okay. Yeah. MASH was a bad show, and nobody should watch it.
Yeah. So one of the guys actually, said that I was, said he couldn't tell the difference between us, so he doesn't know who was Steve and who was Joe. So.
That's awesome.
I think he was from Hawaii, so that gives him God damn it, why did this screw it up?
You really messed it up.
Yeah. Oh, here it is. He is from Hawaii. It's Amory Burgess. I love the podcast, but I can't say what Steve's wrong about because you all sound the same. Now send me the prize.
Is that the winner?
No, that's not the winner.
Oh.
God damn it. There's like 30 of them, and the winner is relatively earlier, so I'll have to... Oh, I think this one is it. Oh, yeah, this one's it. Because his message was just Steve smells, so I'm like, ooh, this is an interesting one. And he wrote, original trilogy of Star Wars is still solid. That's the winner. Because I think that one will upset you the most.
But you don't even believe in that.
I do. I love the original trilogy.
Oh.
That's why we've gotten into this argument before. I still think it's solid.
Ah, okay. I think only Empire is solid.
Yeah. But anyway, it's Jasper Magnus. He's from Kent, Ohio, so...
The original trilogy is not solid.
I also chose it because of the song the song Ohio by Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, Kent State. Anyway, aside from that point, so Jasper, I will send out the figures to you, and we will... I wasn't actually choosing the funniest one. I was just picking the one I agreed with the most and the one I know would rage Steve the most.
Well, as I said, they had to pander to you.
Most of them would be like... you know, they're trying to be funny or something like that. I'm like, meh. I agree with your statement, but I don't think Steve would rage hard against enough if I said this. You'd probably agree with most of it.
If you pay attention on the podcast, you can find multiple things that you can very easily pander to Joe with.
Yeah.
And that would annoy me. So you just pick the best one.
Oh, I picked the best one.
You definitely picked the best one.
The original trilogy. Yeah. Still solid.
Right, because you have to meet both criteria.
Yeah.
Because you have to pander to you.
Yeah.
While making me annoyed.
Yeah. And most of them were pretty... I still think the one about fucking MASH made me laugh the most. I was just like,
that's pretty awesome.
Like, God damn it! I'm sorry, but yeah. But then, of course, you're going to laugh about that, too. You're not going to get raging about
that. Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I hate MASH. Yeah.
All right, so...
especially the poster. It's like a hand and like a fucking helmet thing.
Well, yeah, the helmet with the legs.
It's so stupid.
I don't get it.
It's fucking dumb.
And I think Robert Altman's a terrible director.
I don't know who Robert Altman is.
He directed Popeye.
I love Popeye. With Robin Williams?
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's great.
What about Nashville? How are your feelings on Nashville?
The city? Walking in Memphis.
Oh, God.
Can't keep my feet up on the ground. Walking in Memphis.
What about Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean?
I'm just naming
Robert Altman movies. What about Prairie Home Companion?
You got me on that one, too. Wait, no. Prairie Home Companion, that's the one about the radio music thing, right? I saw a trailer for that, and I was like, that looks so fucking shitty, I'm never going to watch it.
You know what? You were right on that one. It wasn't really that good.
I did a called shot.
I mean, like, a lot of people like claim Robert Altman. I don't
Speaking
know why I'm going.
Speaking of shitty movies, I saw Sin City 2.
Was it really bad? Because I want to see it so bad.
You should see it. You should watch it, but it's bad.
Yeah. But is it bad in that, like, oh, this is bad, it's good?
No.
It's just,
basically,
is Ava Green get naked? Because
she's super naked for a lot of the movie. But let me tell you this: I've never seen a movie with more tits, more ass, more people being decapitated, more shit getting exploded, more dudes getting shot, more just general explosions and badassery, sweet fights between Marv and the Minute, and just generally a ton of shit happening nonstop, including lots of boobies and butts and violence and ultra gore, and I'm still checking my watch every 10 minutes. Like, is this movie fucking over yet?
You're kidding me.
I am not. I said it was a fucking phenomena. I'm like, fuck, this movie's boring. Like, is this over yet?
It's like that movie should have came out like 3 years ago.
No, the structure is terrible, and you can tell that Quentin Tarantino had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
the movie structure, like, you know how the first one is structured.
Well, Tarantino didn't have anything really. He directed only one sequence,
but
he
was a consultant with Robert. Yeah. So the problem movie is very simple. The first movie is like they do a little mini story, fades to black, does another story. New narrator, fades to black, another story, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And it does a little, you know, a little out of sequence.
Yeah,
and
it's connected. They're kind of connected in this little vignette.
This one is just straight line. It's like a narrator's bounce and change in the middle of a story, and it's
weird.
You should watch it.
I'll watch it because I'm a huge fan of the first one.
You should. I loved the first one. Yeah. It's one of my favorite movies. So
I like the original. I like all the Sin City comics and I think Frank
I was very disappointed.
I think Frank Miller is batshit insane, but some of his stuff is just incredibly good.
Yeah, I was very disappointed.
All right, so go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs.
No, I'm sad.
You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. Also like the Facebook page of our sponsors for this podcast, the Northampton Wargamers.
Still?
They have, I believe, one more after this.
What?
Yes, one more. They're getting close to the end of the era of the Northampton Wargamers.
Shit, man.
It's crazy. How do you feel about that, Steve?
I think that Hamish's mom's going to finally get up off her back.
Yeah. What's the other one? The Warlords is the Northampton
Warlords?
The
Northampton Warlorders.
Those guys, those dirty Warlorders. One day we'll stick it to them. Do you ever feel like they're like...
What if they slip you a fin?
Ooh.
How about a Sawbuck?
All right, here you go, guys. If the Northampton Warlords are listening, you could sponsor us and we'll make fun of the Northampton Wargamers. Wait, we already make fun of the Northampton Wargamers.
Yeah, we will refuse to make fun of the Northampton Wargamers if we're sponsored by the Northampton Warlords.
Ooh.
That's how the Warlorders roll.
As far as I'm concerned, I see this as some sort of civil war that I can't really get behind. Like Romeo and Juliet.
Maybe I don't think Romeo and Juliet were having a civil war.
Well, their parents were.
I think they were banging.
Well, like, their parents, like, the Capulets and the Montagues were.
The Montagues?
Maybe the Northampton Wargamers and the Northampton Warlords should just get together.
The Montagues?
I've been feeling
the fuck is that one dude? No, what? Shit! I can't remember. Who's the character that everyone always wants to play in the fucking, that stupid thing?
Benvolio?
No, it's not Benvolio. Might be Tybalt in Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, he's Juliet's cousin who kills Benvolio, and Benvolio says, "Pox on both your houses, a curse on both your houses."
I don't know.
You don't remember?
I think it's something else.
Is it the friar?
I think he's a very fruity name. It's like Dan Talabaga.
If you write that down, I'll make that my character's name in D&D and make Dan pronounce it every time.
You should make your character the Scatman.
I'm a Scatman.
No, you should make your character Scatman John. And when you walk in and someone introduces you, you just go. I'm the Scatman. Beep beep pop pop beep up boop, pop pop beep up boop.
Remember
beep pop pop beep up boop, pop pop beep up boop, beep beep pop pop beep up boop, pop pop beep up boop.
You still going?
I'm calling out from Scatland.
Remember when that was
calling out from Scatman's world?
Remember how that was like a thing in the '80s?
Scatman John?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like he'd probably still be like our YouTube hit if he wasn't dead.
He probably would be.
Yeah.
Like the evolution of dance. That was stupid.
I don't know. I was just
that was one of the first times I ever realized. I think that the evolution of dance video was the first time I realized the internet was full of bullshit.
Man, you were slow on the uptake.
I know, but I mean, like really, where I was just like, why does everybody like this? This thing is bullshit.
It's a stand-up comedy routine.
I know, it was awful. And aside from that, where was it? We were making fun of the Wargamers. Oh yeah, go to iTunes, like, comment, subscribe. Comments, you know, the thing is that when you comment on it, it raises our rankings in iTunes. When you share our podcast on Facebook, like when we post the podcast, if you share it, That actually increases, like, how many people see us. So
you could also pay money for that.
You could pay money. I'm not paying money for that. Neither fuck that shit. Yeah, not doing that. This ain't worth it, buddy. So, yeah, do that. Listen to Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, also known as Power Glove Petcast.
Pat's Power Glove Cast.
I'm calling it the Petcast.
The Pat's Power Glove.
It's the Power Glove Petcast.
Power Glove Petcast. No, Power Glove Power Hour. Pat's Power Glove Power Hour.
The Pat Glove Power Hour?
Pat's Power Glove Power Hour.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Dude, Pat's Power Glove Power Hour.
So listen.
It rolls right off the tongue. Pat's Power Glove Power Hour.
Listen to Petcast.
He loves the Power Glove. It's so bad.
It's whatever, man. Just don't touch her with it. also known as Play On. It comes out right before us. It likes to get the jump on our listenership. They just did their 50th podcast. Fucking, I was on it. Okay. So anyway, Steve, until next time.
I think there's a chipmunk outside. This is much more interesting than this podcast.
Game Classy.